We're going to pray. And before I forget, we're going to pray for Bronwyn's dad, who's in hospital as well. Bronwyn's mum's here today. It's lovely to have you here today, mum. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the encouragement from that video, Lord, that no matter what mountain is before us, Christ in us is the hope of glory, that we can handle it. We can overcome any mountain, any battle that's facing us because you are with us, Lord Jesus. And Father, we lift up Bronwyn, Bronwyn's dad, and Bronwyn's mum. We just bless their family in the name of Jesus. We pray for healing for Bronwyn's dad while he's in hospital right now. God, do a miracle in him. Set him free from any attack of the enemy. We stand in the gap and we bless him in the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray for every person here today as we open your word. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you'll speak to us. Give us revelation from your word. Help us unlock our potential to be all you've called us to be. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen, amen. Well, God bless you. Encourage you to open your Bibles today. We're going to have a look at a great verse in Galatians 6, verses 7 to 10. If you want to get that ready, we're going to read through that shortly. And I just wanted to mention, you know, that video has inspired me many, many times. Someone sent it to me a couple of years ago. And every now and then, I just watch it again. I'll put it on our Facebook and our private group today if you want to check it again and watch it again. But I do a workout at the gym twice a week with my son Josh, with our trainer. And she puts on music at different times, and sometimes she puts on like 80s music. And I'm like, oh, come on. That's not going to get me going. And I say, put on that Stephen Furtick video. And she puts it on. And then I work out so much faster. I work out so much better when I'm hearing that. I think there's an anointing on things like that. When a man of God speaks the truth of God's word, and it's really well produced and it looks good and all that too, but there's something about when you receive something powerful, it changes you on the inside, amen? And you're not meant to read the comments on YouTube. There's a lot of bad stuff on there, but on that video on YouTube, I read this. It said, my 11-year-old son listens to this every morning before he goes to school and every night before he goes to bed. And she said, our children need this kind of godly motivation. Another lady said, I watch this video maybe 3 to 5 times a day to help me conquer my eating disorder, to help me conquer cancer, and to help me conquer the trauma I have in my life. She said this is the medicine I need from God to help me keep fighting and not to lose sight, that God is healing me and holding my hand, and that this is just a season, and that God has me in the palm of his hand. I'm so grateful and thankful for this video from Pastor Stephen. I can handle it. That's the kind of comments you want to read on YouTube, amen? And you know what? I don't know what battle you're going through. I don't know what trauma you're going through. You need good stuff to fill you up, amen? You know, I want to encourage you. You know, a lot of people are just watching the news all the time, looking at the latest numbers, the latest lockdowns. People are worried about this new variant and all this, you know. People are saying, I want to head for the hills, but I want to head for the holy hill, amen? I want to go up to the mountain and seek the Lord. Amen? Don't get worried about all the stuff that's happening in the world. Keep your eyes on Jesus because with Jesus, we can handle it. Amen? Today, I'm going to bring a message called Unlocking Your Potential. And after 30 years of ministry, I started as a youth pastor at the age of 16. I've had 15 years at New Hope, 10 years at Vision Radio. I'm looking forward to 6 weeks long service leave. Starting this Wednesday. It's been an amazing year, and I'm believing for greater things to happen in 2022. Amen? 7 people are excited. That's good to hear. I'm believing for a great year in 2022. Amen? So this is my last chance to give you a word. And I felt the Lord put on my heart these words, unlocking your potential. You know, we had 6 baptisms last Sunday here. We had 5 planned and 1 guy spontaneously got baptized. And my heart is to see those that are baptized, every one of you in the church, to see people getting discipled and mentored and growing in their faith. Part of my vision is to see people released into their destiny and calling. And sometimes we need a bit of a nudge in the right direction to encourage people to step out of the boat. You know, this morning in the prayer room, I saw there was these little locks on the big chests in there for the kids' toys. and I saw that lock, and I actually don't know the combination to this lock, so I'm not going to lock it, because then we won't be able to unlock it, will we? But I'm here to tell you the combination is Jesus, to unlock your potential. A lot of people live their lives rendered ineffective by words that have been spoken over them. You know, Mr. Murtha, my science teacher in grade 11, saw my report card in grade 11, which wasn't very good. And he said, "Prater, you're never going to amount to anything." It's not what you want to hear from your teacher, is it? And you know what I did? I just brushed it off. Like water off a duck's back. And I went, "I'll show you, Mr. Murtha. I'm not going to let your word curses make me shrink back and think I'm a failure the rest of my life. I might need a little bit of healing still, because here I am talking about it today. I might need to go to the healing rooms, Linda Ellen, get some inner healing prayer maybe, you know. It's funny that I still remember it, but you know what? There's two ways you can take words like that, isn't there? You can let it be a curse and beat you down, and you can believe it, can't you? Or you can be unoffendable and shake it off and say, "I'm not going to let those words lock up my potential. I'm going to rise up and be what God says I am." Amen? What does God say about me? "I'm an overcomer. I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. No weapon formed against me shall prosper." Amen? Whose report will you believe? Mr. Murtha's or God's? I believe what God says about me, and God says I have potential. God says I have gifts, I have talents, I have a calling, and I want to live a life worthy of that calling. I want to make sure I unlock my potential. Do you? One person, two? Do you want to unlock your potential? Think about Paul and Silas. They're in prison in the book of Acts. Chained up, locked up. They've been preaching the gospel. And then in the midnight hour, they started praising and singing hymns and worshiping God. And what happened? The prison was shaken. The doors were unlocked. The chains were broken. The lock was broken. And they were set free. Amen? Let me tell you one of the keys to unlocking your potential is worshiping God. Take your eyes off your circumstances, off your lock, off your bars, off your prison that you're in. He who the Son sets free is where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That's a bit of King James. I love that. Yeah. Freedom. Don't be locked up by what the world says about you. Don't be locked up by your circumstances. Lift up my eyes. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. When you look to Him, you start seeing yourself seated in heavenly places with gifts and talents, a calling, a purpose. And just like that video says, you can handle it. Whatever's thrown your way, you can handle it, because Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Amen? Last week I shared a bit about how there's three types of people. There's the quitters, the ones that give up. There's the campers, the one that just settle and are lukewarm and they're comfortable. But then there's the climbers. They're the ones that go to the top of the mountain. I want to remind you today that you have potential to get to the top of the mountain. Don't quit. Don't camp. Keep climbing to what God has called you to do. We need to know who we are, and we need to know whose we are. Well, that's good. We need it, amen? We need to know who we are. Who are we? We're children of the Most High God, amen? Whose are we? We are adopted into His kingdom. We are Jesus's. Whose hands are you in? A basketball in my hands is worth about $19. A basketball in Michael Jordan's hands is worth about $33 million. Depends whose hands it's in. A tennis racket is useless in my hands, but in Venus Williams' hands, it's a Wimbledon championship. depends in whose hands it's in. A rod in my hands will keep away a wild animal. A rod in Moses' hands will part the mighty sea. Depends whose hands it's in. A slingshot in my hands is like a kid's toy. A slingshot in David's hands is a mighty weapon. It depends whose hands it's in. Two fish and five loaves in my hands is a couple of fish sandwiches. Two fish and five loaves of bread in God's hand will feed thousands. Depends whose hands it's in. Nails in my hands might produce a birdhouse. Nails in Jesus Christ's hands will produce salvation for the entire world. It depends whose hands it's in. As you see now, it depends whose hands it's in. So put all your concerns, all your worries, all your fears, all your hopes, your dreams, your families, and your relationships in God's hands, because it depends whose hands it's in. Is anybody here in the hands of Jesus? You know, my Bible tells me, your Bible tells you to offer yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing unto God. This is our spiritual act of worship, amen? A lot of people give themselves to Jesus and lay their life on the altar, but then they just climb off again on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. When you give your life to Jesus on a Sunday, give your life to him on Monday as well. And Tuesday. You know what comes after that? Wednesday. Yeah, I worked that out, didn't I? Yeah, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, every day. Don't just give your life to Jesus on a Sunday. Do it every day. Every day, put your hands in the hand of the man from Galilee. Amen? Remember Pastor Chris saying something a while back in one of his sermons that really got me thinking, and I believe it's connected to unlocking our potential. He said, kids get looked after. Teenagers look after themselves. Adults look after others. I want to challenge you today. Who are you looking after? Who are you caring for? You know, in the lead up to Christmas, one of my concerns about going away on holidays is there's a lot of people I've been caring for, and I know the team here will be doing their best. There's a lot of people that are going to be very lonely this Christmas. A lot of families are saying, you can't come to our house because of whatever, you know. I'm not going to go into the details. I'm not going to open up a can of worms, but there's a lot of division happening in families. There's a lot of lonely people this Christmas. I'm asking you, who are you going to care for? You know, when we talk about unlocking our potential, we might talk about a business person that can be really successful, and that's great if that's your calling. We might talk about a pastor that can preach, and that's great if that's your calling. You might know what your calling is. Let me give you advice about how to find your calling. Start doing something. Don't just sit here in the chair every Sunday and receive. Don't be a consumer at church. Don't be a spectator at church. Be a participator, amen? I remember a friend of mine visited this church once and said, no one came and talked to me. It wasn't very friendly. And I said, did you go and talk to anyone? There's a lot of people that come to this church every Sunday searching for Jesus. And you know, we are the body of Christ. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. You might be the only Jesus that they're going to see any Sunday. Make sure that you care for and love one another. Part of unlocking your potential is caring for others. Is putting your hand around someone, weeping with those who weep, mourning with those who mourn, rejoice with those who rejoice, loving and caring for one another. Don't be a spectator at church. Don't be a consumer. Be a participator. Don't come to be served, but come to serve. That's a sign of spiritual maturity when you're here for others, not for yourself. I know people that go around from church to church looking for the latest and greatest thing. And, oh, I want it to meet my needs and suit me. I've got to have a preacher that preaches what I believe. And I've got to have worship that sings the songs I like. And it's got to have comfortable chairs. And it's got to be good for the kids. And, oh, it's got to have this. They want to tick off their box about what they want for church. What about what you can give? Glenda said it in the prayer meeting this morning. That's what Christmas is about. It's better to give than receive. Amen. My kids keep saying, what are we going to get for Christmas? Well, Josh does anyway. Because they're at that age where it's about them, isn't it? Because except for my kids, they're awesome, you know. It's going to be a long holiday. I'm in trouble now. Whew. But you remember when you're a teenager and you think the world revolves around you? And you know everything. Remember that? I still remember. I feel like that sometimes still. But what does a mature Christian do? They care for others. They die to themselves and they live for others. And we want to be an others-focused church, amen? What's the secret to joy? J-O-Y. Jesus first, others second, yourself third. A lot of people live yodj. That's not good. Yourself first, others second, Jesus third. Joy is Jesus first, others second, yourself third. When I was a teenager, one of my favorite worship songs was this song, Raise Up an Army, and I just wanted to declare it today. I want everyone to read out the words. You know, I watched Bobby Shuler on the Hour of Power today. He does this declaration at the start of his service. I love it. It's good stuff. I think there's power in declarations, amen? Like that Stephen Furtick video, that's a declaration that you can listen to every day, you know? Let's declare this. This is what I'm believing for this church to be. Amen. I want everyone to read this together. Ready? Go. Raise up an army, O God. Awake your people throughout the earth. Raise up an army, O God, to proclaim your kingdom, to declare your word, to declare your glory, O God. Our hope, our heart, our vision, to see in every land your chosen people coming forth, fulfilling your holy mission, united as we stand, pledging our lives unto you, Lord. O God, our glorious Maker, we marvel at your grace that you would use us in your plan, rejoicing at your favor, delighting in your ways, we'll gladly follow your command. That's what I'm believing for this church, that this is an army. Who's a soldier in the army of the Lord? I may never march in the infantry, the cavalry, through the artillery. I may never zoom over the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. Amen. Well, that brings back memories. We're not the love boat here, people. We love one another, okay? We love to party, okay? If you come Thursday night, we love to dance, and you know. But this isn't the love boat. This isn't just here to cruise along and, you know, eat all that food you do on cruises and, you know. Party, you know. I mean, it's okay to have a bit of joy in church, amen. That's all right. We love that, but this is actually a battleship. We're actually an army. The church is an army. William Booth, and that name, the Salvation Army. They had three focuses, soup, soap, and salvation, amen. I love that. Where are the William Booths of 2021 that will challenge the church not just to be a cruise ship like the Love Boat, but to be an army that will go into the highways and the byways and snatch people from the fires of hell, amen? Church, if we're going to do that, we need to unlock our potential. Not just leave it up to the pastors and the elders and the leaders. Every one of us needs to unlock our potential to be the army of the living God. I read this quote this week from Veronica West. My goodness, I love this. She said, I hear your heart and it's breaking. Take that passion and that pain into your prayer closet and let your voice be heard in the courts. Let your tears wash his feet. The sole purpose of prayer is to get the ear of God. Jesus weeps for mankind. If the church does not take her place, then Satan has legal permission to rob, kill, and destroy. The wicked deeds we see and not because God is silent, because man has not stepped up and taken dominion. God is not to blame. Spiritually lazy, passive, complacent, and compromising saints have not fulfilled the requirements. Satan will not relent. Hence why our knees must stay bent. The prayers of a faith-fueled believer is the divine restrainer of evil. It's not where is God, but rather where are the godly walking in authority and pushing back the enemy. Somebody say amen. Whew. Friends, I felt a conviction of the Holy Spirit when I read that this week. Just go back one slide to the start of that quote, please. Jesus weeps for mankind. The church needs to take her place. Otherwise, Satan has legal permission to rob, kill, and destroy. You know, the Bible tells us Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He has dominion and authority on this earth. That's why there's so much trouble happening on the earth. But my Bible tells me that Jesus taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever." Friends, when we get a revelation of the authority we have in Christ Jesus, we can trample the devil under our feet, amen? Where are the believers who are in the secret place, who are rising up in prayer at the start of the day and receiving an anointing, being dressed in the armor of God? Where are the believers who have a revelation of the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ? I hope they're in this church. I hope you've got the sword of the Spirit in your right hand and the shield of faith in your left hand, that you're dressed in the armor of God. Friends, I'm going to be a bit heavy today. It's my last day. I want to drop some bombs before I go, if that's all right. I feel a deep concern for the persecution that's coming. A deep concern for the division that's coming. A deep concern for the decisions our governments are making. A deep concern for the decisions some of our church leaders are making. I feel a deep concern that many Christians are going to fall away in these last days, because they don't know Jesus in the secret place. Because they don't know the truth of God's word. Because they don't know their authority over the enemy. I just got to be honest. A few months ago, I was going downhill fast. I was watching every video people were sending me. I was reading every article people were sending me. I was talking about COVID, vaccines, mandates. I was worried. I was stressed. I was freaking out about this, freaking about it. I was really, and you know, I was just in a bad place, fearful and worried, because you see, what you put your attention to gets inside of you. And I felt the Holy Spirit of God grieved, because I lost my focus. Can I be honest today? Is that all right? Can I be real? Take my mask off for a moment and just say, hey, I'm a person like you. And I've talked about this subject till the cows come home with every man and his dog, believe me. And I'm not sweeping this stuff under the carpet, believe me. But I felt the Holy Spirit grieved, because it's not my calling. It's not my focus. My focus is Jesus. My focus is to snatch people from the fires of hell. My focus is to cast out devils, to heal the sick. My focus is to speak up where God tells me to speak up, and to butt my lip when he tells me to butt my lip. I know some of you, it's your calling and you want to speak up about it. God bless you. I'm not going to challenge anyone not to speak up about all this stuff. God bless you, and I'm... there's a lot of stuff we agree on and all those things. I'm not going to go into my personal views on it. God bless you. But I know my calling is to be a shepherd to the sheep. My calling is to seek and save the lost. My calling is to care for the poor, clothe the naked, visit those in prison. My calling is to do what Jesus told me to do. And I don't want to be distracted. I don't want to follow a shadow mission and go down some other path. I want to fix my eyes on this goal and not get distracted. And I want to warn you, there's going to be a lot of bad stuff happening, a lot of bad stuff coming. You know, I went to a Brisbane pastor's prayer meeting this week. I sat at a table with six pastors, all about my age, amazing young men of God. And I wanted to get to know them. I wanted to have a great conversation with them. For 30 minutes at lunch, all we talked about was COVID. All we talked about was all the bad stuff happening. And I felt the Holy Spirit grieving in me once again. Because we could have been talking about the kingdom. We could have been talking about the word. We could have been encouraging one another. But we all sat there going, oh, isn't it bad? Oh, whoa, 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 you know. And I just kind of listened and buttoned my lip, and I didn't want to, you know, didn't want to be the crazy prophet pastor telling him, stop speaking thus saith, you know. I just went along with it. But what a waste of half an hour with some mighty men of God. Let's not focus on the world. Let's focus on the kingdom. The kingdom coming soon. Let's be found working in the harvest field when he returns. Amen. Galatians 6, verse 7 to 10 says this. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always have harvest. You'll always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Everyone say, don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially those in the family of faith. This is one of my last Bible verses I'm going to share with you before I head off. And I want to encourage you, look after each other. Look after one another. Jesus would leave the 99 to go after the one. Look at the ones, look at the empty seats of people that aren't here today. Think about those that couldn't make it. What's going on with them? Give them a call. Have a coffee with them. Think about who's going to be lonely this Christmas. Invite them over to your house. Love them. Care for them. We might wind down the King's table after Christmas and have a month off in January. There's nothing publicly happening here. But what about all those guys in the shelters that we've cared for all year? I want to remind you, if you ever do go into the shelters, always take at least one other person with you. Jesus said, send them out two by two. That's one of our policies, you know. But think of all the people around this city that need the love of Jesus this Christmas. Here it tells us, firstly, care for the household of faith, for the brethren and the sisters. Amen? And then do good to everyone. And don't get tired. For at the right time, you'll reap a harvest. Let's look at this cartoon here. A lot of people are ready to give up. Look at this guy, the top guy. He's digging and digging and digging. And where's he going to get to? The diamonds. And what's the bottom guy? He's like, oh, I've had enough. I'm out of here. He was so close. He was almost there. My Bible tells me don't despise the day of small beginnings. I believe we've only just skimmed the surface of what God wants to do in this city. Amen. I believe we're about to have a breakthrough to the diamonds. Amen. A breakthrough to the glory. Amen. A breakthrough to the kingdom coming. Amen. Don't give up. Keep sowing those seeds. Keep believing because we'll receive a harvest at the right time. C.S. Lewis said this, you're never too old to set another goal or to dream a new dream. Smith Wigglesworth was a plumber until he was in his 50s before he got serious about pursuing God's call in his life. He went on to become one of the most influential preachers of his generation. Don't ever believe the lie that it's too late to pursue your calling. If you're alive, there's still time. Amen. Every one of you, my challenge to you is to unlock your potential. You're not too old. You're not too young. You're not too this. You're not too that. Don't let the lies of the devil render you ineffective and cripple you from fulfilling your calling. Amen? Where's Eddie? Eddie Baggerman. What a legend. I I didn't ask Eddie's permission for this, but I'm his boss, so I'm just going to take the liberty to. Andrew Cook did a great job running New Hope Care the last couple of years. And his church got so busy at Redcliffe that he had to lay it down and stop running New Hope Care. And we prayed and we said, God, would you raise up someone to lead New Hope Care? And Eddie wasn't even on my radar. Eddie was working for LJ Hooker, doing a great job. And all out of the blue, I got this, I was praying, say, God, you know, Paul and Barnabas prayed and fasted for God to send them out and do the work of the ministry. Amen. We were praying and fasting as an eldership. God, who's going to, that's a crucial role, amen, running New Hope Care. Out of the blue, we got a message. I think it was from Simi, actually, yeah. Simi said, just ask that you maybe pray about Eddie for that role in New Hope Care. And I was like, mind blown. Awesome. And so I went and had a coffee with Eddie. We caught up. We talked a bit about it. And he said to me, you know what? I just feel like God's got more for me than LJ Hooker. Managing these properties and dealing with all the problems with working in real estate, you know. And I saw a flicker in his heart. You know, the Bible says, fan into flame the gift of God. And I saw a flicker. And you know, Pastor Phil McCallum, when he handed over this church to me 15 years ago, he said, part of your job as a pastor is when you see a flame, blow on it so that it gets on fire. Amen. And I saw a flicker in Eddie's heart. I thought, maybe he's the one. So we prayed about it. We did some pretty heavy interviews. Whew. I grilled him. Man, I'm good at interviews, let me tell you. I ask all the hard questions. And I saw the call of God on his life. And you know what? He couldn't get an LJ Hooker quick enough. Leave that all behind. And you know what? He said to me, Matt, I've never done this before. I don't know how I'm going to go. A bit like Moses, when God called him to set the Israelites free. But God, can't you get someone else to do it? God said, I've chosen you. Set my people free. Let my people go. And he went before Moses. He went before Pharaoh. And the 10 plagues, you know the story. And he led the people through the sea. He opened up the Red Sea. Because he was in God's hands, amen? Friends, when you offer yourself to God, doesn't matter what training, what experience, what gifting, doesn't matter all that. God doesn't care about your ability, he cares about your availability. When you offer to God yourself as a living sacrifice, he can unlock your potential. And let me tell you, this guy has been amazing this year. He has cared for so many people. He's helped people find accommodation. He's helped people with their finances. He's cared for the last, the least, and the lost. He's run things in this place so well. He's put up with so much rubbish, you know, with some of the people he's been dealing with. And you know what? He's like Steady Eddie. He just cruises. Nothing shakes him because he's got Jesus. He's got the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Friends, I want to challenge you. Unlock your potential just like Eddie. It might be working for the church. It might be starting your own ministry. It might be in business. It might be just getting a job. It might be doing chaplaincy in schools. Whatever. Don't bury your talent. Unlock your potential. Rise up to be all that God has called you to be. We're going to close with this verse today. 1 Timothy 4:13 to 16. This is my last verse to you, everyone. Paul wrote this to Timothy. Last verse today. So I'm so dramatic, am I? Come on. I did drama class at school. I can be a bit dramatic, can't I? You want to say something? Oh, my goodness.
No, you're like, he's going like, oh, this is the last verse today. It's like, don't listen to him.
Yeah. this is my last verse. For 6 weeks. For 2021. Are you ready? Can I just say, I'm only about a quarter of the way through my notes. I can keep going if you want. No. We're going to wrap it up. 1 Timothy 4:13 to 16. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given to you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself partially to them. Oh, sorry, did I get that wrong? Okay, let me go. Give yourself 99% to them. We don't want heresy here today, do we, Pastor Chris? No. What does it say? Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you'll save both yourself and your hearers. When we close the service today, I'm going to open the altar here for anyone that wants me to lay hands on them and pray for the gift of God to be fanned into flame in them. It's my heart as a pastor. I want to win the lost, and I want to release others to win the lost. I want to care for people, and I want to release others to care for people. I want to cast out demons, and I want to release others to cast out demons. I want to bring a word of encouragement, and I want to release others to bring a word of encouragement. The gifting, the anointing, the calling of my life, I want to pass it on to you. Years ago, we had Pastor Clark Taylor come and preach here. Service went till about 2 o'clock. Anything could happen today, guys. I'm just saying. It's my last service before I go away, you know. Clark Taylor prayed for me in that room before he left that day at 1:30 p.m. He said, Father, everything you've given me, the mantle I've received, I pass it on to Matt. And that day, something shifted in me. Something opened up in me. I saw an incredible exponential growth in all the ministry work I was doing. Something was transferred. How many of you know the anointing is not taught but caught? And today I want to offer to lay hands on you to receive a fresh anointing. I believe that God wants to raise you up and unlock your potential. Some of you, you felt locked up. Oh, this is locked now. Oh, my goodness. Is that prophetic? Or pathetic? Some of you are locked up and you need the combination to be set free. And I believe as a senior pastor, someone with an apostolic calling in their life, I believe the anointing and the mantle I've received, I can lay hands on you and see you set free to fulfill your potential. I've been praying about this all week. Two things I believe the Lord wants to reveal as we do the altar call today as well. Some of you have been wrestling with an orphan spirit. An orphan spirit is driven by the need for success and to put on a good show. But the mature Son of God fulfills their calling and mission and doesn't care what anybody else thinks. Many people attempt to accomplish great things in the flesh just to get approval from men. And they're doing that with an orphan spirit. I know because I used to suffer from this myself. But when you get a revelation of the love of the Father, you're being led by the Spirit instead of driven by success in the flesh. Only those who get a revelation of sonship, that they're a son or a daughter of the Most High God, will allow the Lord to direct them and bring opportunity without drumming up their own success in the flesh. If that's when you feel like you've had this orphan spirit, I want to break that off you today. So you get a revelation of the love of the Father. Another thing I want to break open today as we open the altar is fear. Some of you are fearful that if you step out for God, you'll fail. If you step out for God, you'll say the wrong thing. You'll do the wrong thing. Your family will come against you. Your finances will dry up. Whatever lie the devil is spinning at you right now, don't give him a foothold in your life with fear. My Bible tells me God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. Amen? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If you're wrestling with fear that's crippling you and holding you back from unlocking your potential, I want to pray for that spirit of fear to go in the name of Jesus. Amen? We're also going to open the altar for healing today if you need prayer for healing. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, I thank you for every single person here today. I pray if there's anybody with an orphan spirit, that you'll set them free today and they'll get that revelation of being a son or a daughter of the Most High God. Lord, I pray for anyone here today crippled with fear that you'll set them free in the name of Jesus. I pray every person here will unlock their potential and give their time, their talent, and their treasure to serving Jesus above all else. I pray we won't be quitters. We won't be campers, but we'll be climbers to the holy mountain, to the holy hill of the Lord God Almighty. With every eye closed and every head bowed, maybe today you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You've never asked Him to forgive you of your sins. In just a moment, we're going to pray a prayer where you can ask Jesus to come into your life and your sins will be washed away. The Bible says, all those who call on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. If today you want to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior and have your sins forgiven, if you want to pray that prayer with me, just slip your hand up real high and I'll pray it with you today. I see that up there. That's great. Anybody else, you want to give your life to Jesus today, slip your hand up real high between you and God. This is a commitment to have your sins forgiven and start afresh with Jesus. Is there anybody else that says, yes, today is the day for me? Just slip up your hand real high and I'll pray with you today. Let's all pray this prayer together. Good on you, brother. I see that. Let's pray this prayer together. Dear God in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. Please forgive me of my sins and make me born again. I turn from my sinful ways and I surrender my life to you. Please fill me with the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give these guys a hand that prayed that today. God bless you.